Thank you. Hello, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our session. It's 12:35. I'm German, so starting 5 minutes late makes me really nervous. So let's get started now. My name is Anne Michaels.
I'm Michael Ziak.
I'm Pavni.
And we'd like to introduce, or we'd like to welcome you to our session on a new level of service health insights. So who of you would like to have more information during and after a service incident? Pretty much everybody. I'm gonna say, I'm not surprised to see that, because for you, moving to Office 365, for many of you, was a big change. Most of you come from an on-prem environment, and in your on-prem environment, you deploy changes into your environment in a very slow and controlled way. And when there was a service incident, well, you were the ones investigating the service incident and also solving it. Moving to Office 365, well, you trust us. You trust Microsoft in running the service. But if there is a service incident, you, of course, also trust us in quickly solving the service incident, but you still want to know what is going on. You still want to know what is happening within your service. So let's do a quick show of hands here. Are there any Germans in the audience? Or anybody who has driven on the German Autobahn? So you all know the German Autobahn is the paradise for drivers. No potholes, no speed limits, very well-educated and trained drivers, and also very nice and fast cars. But we still have traffic jams. There could be a tree on the road. Or there could be a little dog running around on the Autobahn. You can have the best streets, the best cars, but traffic jams will still happen. And that is very similar with service incidents. You can have the best infrastructure, the best teams, but service incidents will still happen. They are reality for all service providers. But what really makes the difference is the amount of information that you have access to. So let's quickly imagine, all of us, you're stuck in a traffic jam. And I know nobody likes to be stuck in a traffic jam, but just imagine that for a second. Well, don't you want to know what the reason for the traffic jam is? And don't you want to know that if there is a tree on the road, that somebody is taking care of that? Don't you want to know how long it will take? How much later you will be home with your family and your kids? And of course, most important, don't you want to know if there's a way to avoid the traffic jam, to drive around it? You do. And now think about service incidents. Though you trust us in running the service and quickly solving any incidents, well, you still want to have access to all the details. You want to know what the reason for the service incident is. You want to know what the impact for your organization is, how many of your users are impacted, and which users. You want to know how long it will take until the incident has been resolved. And of course, most important, you want to know, is there a way for your users to work around the incident, for you to keep them productive? And the new service health dashboard that we announced yesterday in Kirk's general session, will provide you with all of those details and more. Before we take a look at it, let's quickly take a look what actually happens during a service incident behind the scenes so that you can better understand why we are making the changes to the service health dashboard. Mike, do you want to show us?
Thanks. So first, quick show of hands, how many people attended the Exchange peek behind the curtain session regarding sort of how we operate at scale? Great. So you got some of the fabulous insights into the sophistication that the Exchange team has put in. Ultimately, we're about the translation of that into consumable information for you as a customer. So I want to sort of give some insights into how we operate when we have a service incident. So first off, there is this detection and awareness aspect. Ultimately, as you look and go down the funnel, we have a set of things. We have synthetic monitoring. That is basically acting as a user, and giving us information. Second, we have usage monitoring. At scale, we have excellent telemetry across the services, Exchange, SharePoint, Skype, that ultimately tell us how people are connecting and whether or not they're having issues. And when we see usage patterns that diverge from the expected pattern, we actually alert and signal on that. And then finally, we have a category of event that occur which require engineering analysis. Now over on the right, you'll see that there are a combination of things that we do. One is we will auto-post in the event that the service does not self-recover. In yesterday's session, there was an example where we lost an entire data center. The service failed over seamlessly. There may have been a very slight disconnect for a user. Ultimately, we don't want to barrage you with information when there was a bump, nobody saw it. And so ultimately, we have a lot of investment in how we recover the service and to make sure that we actually don't need to tell you about an issue. Now, in the event that we do, we will notify you of that issue mostly via automation to let you know that we're investigating a service incident. Now, the reality of the fact is that when a service issue is impacting, this is not about the fact that we've been able to have our engineers implement things that avoid the problem, but when a problem does occur, your mailbox disconnects. I'm here to tell you that ultimately, if you are using the service at that point in time when it fails, you will know about it before we communicate it. Now, we have data that shows that if we communicate within a certain amount of time, that generally will make the customers happy, and we drive on that. But the reality is that you as users are also one of our signals to let us know. And as we go forward with the presentation, you'll see some really exciting features about how we are going to empower and enable you even more in that space. Now, we've got this detection. We've been made aware internally that there is an issue, and if we auto-detected it, we've made you aware of that as well. Now, every incident has a senior engineering leader that's engaged as the incident manager. This is not an ops resource that is, hey, I'm in charge of coordinating with a SOC or a NOC. This is the actual engineering leader. In some cases, it is a corporate vice president who is called at 2 o'clock in the morning to join the bridge. Their function, their responsibility is to drive and resolve the problem, and then more importantly, to drive the activities that will prevent future recurrence. There is a dedicated set of communications managers. That is my organization. I have a 24/7 team spread across Europe and the US that are accountable for providing you communications. Ultimately, we have three goals. One is to provide you timely communications. In the event that it is not auto-posted, we will provide an update as quickly as we can confirm. Then we will provide you updates throughout the issue. Next, that communication is going to be targeted. One thing that a lot of customers don't recognize is that when you log into the Service Health Dashboard, into the portal, it is actually an experience that is customized to you. Now, the majority of posts that we provide actually are targeted down to a very small unit of capacity relative to the entire environment. Now, the good news is, and this is feedback that we've received from you, unfortunately, we're sometimes a bit chatty. Again, great features that you're going to be very excited to hear that we're going to be providing you. But what we've also heard is you would rather know about an issue in case it impacts you than ultimately not being told. And so we balance that and we listen to your feedback. And then we're trying to be accurate. So ultimately, if you see communications that are not timely, targeted, or accurate, we have failed in some way, and we either improve it via the communications process or via engineering or sometimes both. Now, issues happened. We started communicating with you. Now, we start the analysis, debug of the issue that's happening. Number one, service restoration. That's what we're all needing to do. And ultimately, that is where the focus lies between the incident manager, the on-call component engineer that owns the code that failed, and ultimately the communication team of driving that information back to you. We're going to identify a fix. That fix may be simple, that fix may be complicated. The one thing that we do is we consider what the impact of the issue is in rolling out the fix. When you look at it, most of the time, knock on wood, the issue is relatively minor in its impact. We are not going to blast an update out to the service. Sometimes we get feedback of frustration from customers that say, why has the service health dashboard been yellow for 2 weeks on an issue? That's usually because we are being very conscious of the implementation of a fix, make sure that we don't break anything else. Great example, we had an issue where one in sort of 400 email requests for encrypted email would fail. If you sent it again, you had a one in 400 chance of it failing. That means that if you tried to send it twice, it was a one in 160,000 chance of that email failing. Well, I can tell you our engineers are not going to try and jam a fix into the service to deal with an issue that ultimately impacts one in 160,000 emails, right, if you try it twice. So there is that balance, and you need to consider that in how we're operating the service, that we are balancing the impact and the rate of change to the environment to fix it. Now, ultimately, it is about remediation, and we're remediating the issue. We have the benefit of delivering a commercial service. You as Office 365 customers are our best customers. We thank you for that. And when you report an issue, we do rely on you to tell us whether or not it's resolved. Certainly, we have our internal telemetry, but we also want to listen to you. And so ultimately, I'd like you to recognize that when you are reporting issues, usually the support organization is going to be contacting you, verifying the issue is fixed. We usually get enough telemetry to say that it is before we'll mark it as resolved. That is one reason sometimes why the service will be restored, and it will take us a little bit of time to mark the incident as resolved because we actually want to validate it. Now, within that, we're doing post-resolution communications. This includes a root cause. Most of you will see with every post, we will provide a root cause or we're actually following up on root cause. One of the big benefits of the engineering team running the service is they know what's wrong with it at the point that it failed, and we provide that communication to you. We provide follow-up actions. If we missed communicating to you before you reported it to us, we take an immediate action to improve the monitoring so we can get faster in our communications. And then finally, if the issue is big enough, we will provide you a post-incident report, a PIR, to tell you some additional timeline details, et cetera. But we're driving most of that real time into the incident communications that we have. Most importantly, as a service provider, we don't want issues to happen twice. Now, certainly email flow, as an example, may have a failure that could have 20 different root causes. So you may see an incident one day that says, hey, we had a mail flow issue. A week later, you say, hey, we had an email flow issue. You're going to go, that looks like you're having the same problem over and over. I can tell you, almost always, it is a different root cause that is causing the issue. The engineering team is constantly engaged, and it's the biggest value that we have from the senior leadership playing a role in incidents as they occur, is they are actually measured against the fact that we don't have the same problem cause the same issue twice. And we're actually performing defense in depth, which is, hey, we had an issue with mail flow. So yeah, let's look at the four different ways that mail flow could get impacted and learn from that issue and ultimately deliver resolution, not just for the one problem, but the other problems as well. Self-healing is the final point here, which is about the fact that at scale, you heard in yesterday's session, Exchange alone has over 100,000 servers, petabytes of storage. This service does not operate with human beings staring at a screen and trying to understand what's going on and taking action. It is all about automation. Any engineer engaged in a failure is considered a bug, and we look at how we resolve that through automation, self-healing. It provides you value. It ultimately allows us to scale to deliver greater features rather than supporting the service. And so ultimately, I want you to keep this in context because this is going to stay. As we talk about all of these features, keep in mind that we're still going to have communication team trying to make sure that you get all the information that you need. We're still going to have the escalation engineers and the incident managers engaged on every issue. This is about how we provide you those additional insights that you have been asking for. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Anne.
Thanks, Josep. As Mike already said, we have received a lot of feedback from you in the area of service incidents. We know that service incidents is a very important area for you, because if there is a service incident that has an impact on your business, and for example, if your end users cannot send email, that can be a really big problem for you. So we have heard from you that you want to have more information. And based on your feedback, we have reimagined the service help dashboard. The new service help dashboard will provide you with a new level of service help insights. Insights that are not only timely and accurate as the ones that you have access to today on the old service help dashboard, but insights that are actually really actionable and also personalized to your organization. And those insights will really help you to stay on top of service incidents and also to improve actually the support experience that you have within your organizations and to improve the experience your end users have using Office 365. So the question is, of course, now, well, how do we achieve that? So the new Service Health Dashboard will provide you with new information and functionality in five areas. On the one hand, incident insights. You want to have more and richer insights, and the new Service Health Dashboard will provide you with those. They will be personalized to your organization so that you can really see what the impact on your organization is, and most important, what the impact on your individual end users is. Tell Us is a new functionality that we are introducing that will give you a very quick and easy way to communicate to us and to inform us if you are impacted by a service incident that does not show yet on the Service Health Dashboard. But what about the end user? We want to help you. We want to empower you so that you can make sure that your end users have a better experience during a service incident. So we are introducing user monitoring, which will enable you to proactively monitor your critical users, and that will also enable you to run proactively an on-demand health check against your users. Because how often does it happen that a user comes up to you and tells you about a problem and says, oh, there's an incident? And you will be able to actually test against our services what the health of that specific user is. And then when there is an incident, we want to help you to inform your end users about the incident. So this is an optional feature. And through this feature, it will be in-product messages that you can make your end users aware of the incident. And it will also help you to inform your end users about a workaround if there is any. But what about the time when there is no service incident? Well, we want you to always get the most out of Office 365. So we are introducing this feature that we call Everyday Insights, which will provide you with tips and guidance how you can actually optimize how you manage and run Office 365 so that you can always get the most out of Office 365 and so that you can improve the experience your end users have using Office 365, not only during a service incident, but every day. So Pavni, do you want to show us some of the new features?
Thanks, Anne. Hi, everyone. I'm Pavni. I'm a program manager on the Office 365 team. And my focus is service health and insights that are powered by Customer Fabric, something we talked about in yesterday's session. I hope you're all having a great Ignite week so far. I wanted to tell a story before I begin, jump into the demo. Let's assume you're all homeowners, right? Let's assume your home and you just walked into the home, and there are a couple of things that are going on with the home right now. Don't worry, this story ends well. One thing is the kitchen faucet is leaking. Potentially a huge plumbing problem is going to be unleashed. The second one is the ice maker in your refrigerator is broken. Let's say this home can talk. If it can talk and if it had to draw your attention to one thing, what would that be? The kitchen faucet, right? Because it's a more serious problem. And if it could tell you that, hey, I detected this, a plumber is on the way, and everything is good, like I got it, right? That would be awesome. Well, even though the home is not real, we have an SHD that is very real, and I'm going to illustrate how this works. Yes. Cool. So I'm not Pavani. I'm an admin in Contoso organization, and this is a new health dashboard. We've cleaned it up, and you can see right now I'm in this page, the overview page, and it gives me a quick status indicator about all my services. I see that mostly all of them are green, but I see something called incidents and advisories. So we are introducing this concept of tiered categorization of issues, where you will see either incidents or advisories. Incidents are your kitchen faucet leaks. Advisories are the ice maker that is broken. Incidents are issues that are compromising the core capabilities of your business. In this particular example, for Exchange Online, it could be users not being able to send or receive email. When an incident occurs, we want to draw your attention to that aspect first. We know you are pulled into multiple different directions in your role on a day-to-day basis, and when you land on the SHD, we want you to spend as little time as possible and quickly grok what's going on. So let me check out what this incident is. We have summarized the most important information about an SHD post up front, so you can quickly understand what's going on. I see this new thing called title. Oh, it says Outlook connectivity issues. Right then and there, I know exactly what's going on. And then the affected users is 501. That's personalized to my organization. That's the exact count of the users in my organization that are exposed to this incident. That gives me an idea and a sense of the scope of the issue. That gives me a sense of the kind of help desk calls I'm going to get and how am I going to prepare for that. And it also gives a quick status. It says that it's being investigated by our engineers. And there's a little bit more information about user impact. Yeah, Outlook connectivity issues, but what does that mean? What exactly is the user calling the help desk about? Users are probably going to tell you that I'm not able to send or receive email using my Outlook. And so we are going to bubble that up and also indicate that there's a workaround that the users could actually use Outlook on the web to continue their productive day. But how about the timeline? How about the rest of the details? How about investigation details that some admins really geek out on? All of that is just a click away in this panel here. I can see the timeline, where it started, the history, and all the other details. So to summarize, this new health dashboard, it does a tiered categorization of issues, bubbling up the most relevant and valuable information during this time of crisis so that you can do the right messaging, and at the same time, keeping all the other details just a click away, and you see the number of users impacted. We're calling this as a summary view, and this is actually live in production. And at the end of the session, we have instructions on how to sign up for this new dashboard. We have about 20 organizations already kind of previewing it. So please use this, give us a lot of feedback, help us make better. I want to now switch a little bit and then build up on this story. So allow me to kind of introduce you to new features that we are going to deliver. We just showed the user count. That's pretty useful. But other than user count, you are interested in knowing which users are impacted by that issue. If your CEO is part of the users that are impacted by the issue, well, we are doubling down our investments in this particular area because we understand how critical it is for you to know exactly which of your users are facing these problems. We're going to give you the exact user list, user names, in a file that can be searched, downloaded, and shared with your help desk, service desk, what have you, in your organization. Additionally, we At an Oxford 365 level, we are piloting another feature where a single organization can actually geo-distribute their users. That means an organization can have users in multiple data centers. And for those admins and for those organizations, we have a geo view that gives an understanding of how a particular, let's say it's worldwide impacting, how this particular issue shows up in various locales. For example, if it's business hours in US and there's a big issue, and maybe in Australia it's off business hours, we can always kind of help you do the right messaging with the help of this view. Actually, I wanted to show something in the demo. So we talked about incidents, but the other thing I saw was an advisory. Now, what is an advisory? Well, advisories are your ice-making problems, right? In this particular example, all the information that we were able to show in the incidents were shown in the advisory as well. This particular example says there are some latencies accessing the Office 365 portal, and right up front, we say that there is no end-user impact. That means only admins are being impacted. This does not mean that this issue is any less from an engineering point of view. All our might is behind it, and we are working day and night to actually resolve this issue. But what it means to you is perhaps it's okay because the end users are not really impacted. I want to give you another example of an advisory that will show up here, which is, let's say, calendar FreeBSY is not working. In that case, because it's an end user impacting feature, you will also see how many end users are impacted by it, but it's not business critical, like your business can still function. And I want to take a minute here and say, what if you are the kind that cares about ice in your home? You're throwing a big party, the Super Bowl, and you need to know that the ice making is a big deal, right? We understand that your organization may have critical scenarios that are not just send, receive email, or log into email. We know that your organization might be affected with FreeBSY, and we want you to provide that feedback so that we can train our algorithm and make it more personalized and more relevant to you, that in the future, when there is a FreeBSY issue, it actually shows up as an incident. Going back to the upcoming investments, notifications. Right? I mean, you need to be on top of service incidents all the time, every time. And while we have mobile push notifications, we want to extend that to multiple modalities of your choice. You dictate which modality you want to receive that particular notification. Voice, text, email. And email is especially relevant because we understand that in your organization, there are a lot of personnel that do not have access to the dashboard. You still have to share this information out, and you still have to train them on service incidents. So this is coming soon, when we roll this up, it will be available in preview. Please sign up. Now let's switch gears a little bit. Both Mike now and yesterday's peer behind the curtain session, we've kind of gave a glimpse into the massive and sophisticated monitoring framework that monitors Office 365 services. While we are able to catch a lot of issues, unfortunately, sometimes we aren't able to catch and detect these issues. And this is where you come in. You, admin, we're going to call this the superhero feature, where you can actually tell us, it's a direct line that you have where you can tell us that your users are reporting an issue. But what does that mean? Well, what it means is that when we see a bunch of these TELUS signals, we actually can engage our engineers right away. We also talked about how we rely on multiple signals. The reason we do that is to increase our confidence when there is something wrong and reduce our false positives. But the signal that we get from you is high fidelity, it's strong, it's verified by the fact that your users are actually not able to complete their tasks. So we are going to make this ability super useful, super easy, and super lightweight. Let me illustrate how this would work. So in the new dashboard here, you can see that the dashboard says everything is healthy. But you're hearing things from your users. They're reporting that, let's say in this example, they're not able to send email. Right on the top, you see a line that says, if your users are reporting an issue, please click here. When you click there, a pop-up is shown, and you can select exactly which issue your users are saying, and bam, just send it to us. We will get your quick confirmation that we received this. And if there is other information that you can provide, like username, that would be all the more useful. But just getting this from you is super valuable. Office 365 has a massive surface area. So any additional eyes and hands is very helpful and very appreciated. Now I want to tell you what happens. Just go back. What happens with this signal? What are we going to do with it? Well, if we see that bam, 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 we are getting three in a matter of 10 minutes, we can say, hey guys, there is something going on. Let's post something to the SHD. Let's put an investigating tab on it, that because you know that we got it. If we do not see a lot of signals coming in, we would probably get back to you and say that, hey, please continue opening a support request, and that can be solved via support channels. But TELUS is all about your voice, making your collective voice influence our algorithms, making sure that the community is partnering with us in understanding and detecting and resolving issues that our monitoring was not able to detect and resolve. This is a good segue to the next topic, which is the user monitoring. So your users reported something, and you gave us a TELUS signal. What if you can do more? What if when your users came to you and they said that, hey, I'm not able to send an email, instead of sending a test email with the subject test, we've all done this. I know that. I can see some nodding heads. We've done this. We go to a non-Office 365 address and we send a test email. Surely there's a more elegant way of doing that. Well, we are going to introduce two really powerful feature sets as part of user monitoring. The first one is what we are calling as on-demand user health check. And the second one is proactive watchlist monitoring. I'll get to the proactive watchlist in a bit, but I want to take a little bit, some time to understand what, on-demand user health check looks like. No more sending test emails from non-Office 365 accounts, by the way. When a user comes to you and says that he has an issue logging into Outlook on the web, you can actually enter the details into the SHD. And what it does is it runs on-demand, real-time tests, and it checks three critical functionalities. One is login. There's a typo on the slides. One is login, whether delivery of mail is working and whether reception of mail is working. What if we correlate this data with actual usage data over the last 24 hours? I'm sure it happens to you, right? Like user says something, you send an email, and everything works, and you're like, no more guessing. We are going to transform guessing to knowing. With this 24-hour data, you can actually see there were failures. I mean, the user was not imagining this, right? Like it empowers you with data and with information, and you can understand that there was actually something going on with the user in that particular time frame. But we're not going to stop here, right? Like on-demand health check, we can evolve that into a more sophisticated solution. So the second part of the user monitoring story that we are going to deliver is proactive watchlist monitoring. We know that your organizations run on a bunch of key workflows. There are shared mailboxes. There is key personnel who's not working email is a fireable offense. Right? We understand that. How about there's a watch list where you can keep all your shared mailboxes, all the critical mailboxes that you need to watch, your VP's mailboxes on a list, and you tell them about issues before they report to you. Again, this is one of those make you a hero kind of feature. So with the peace of mind of on-demand health checks and the proactive monitoring, what we are going to give you is the ability to be totally in control of your service health of your users. The way proactive watchlist monitoring works is you go into a user's profile, you flick a bit, and then it will be nominated for proactive monitoring. And every time there's an issue, we will tie it back to the notifications. We will get a notification. You will get a proactive notification if there's an issue. So you can go to that user that's seeing this issue from a standpoint of empathy and information instead of, oh, really? I don't know. I mean, we want you to empower with as much data and as much information as possible. Now, the next topic that I want to cover is a good segue from the user monitoring feature. I just showed an incident in the demo where the Outlook connectivity was not working, but Outlook on the web was working, right? Before, the user in your organization would call your help desk. Your help desk would probably call our help desk. Our support would run a bunch of diagnostic tests and figure out the documentation and tell you, oh, by the way, Outlook on the web works. We can shortcut all of this. How about the user, in the context of their workflow, is shown messages and workarounds that can help him complete the task at hand? Let me give a quick illustration on how that works. In this particular example, the grayed out part is Outlook that's disconnected. The user is trying to send mail. Nobody remembers their Outlook on the web URL. It's what if the message actually popped up and says, hey, Outlook is experiencing issues. The Outlook on the web experience is up and running. You can actually continue your mail, send, receive, with the Outlook on the web experience. Now, that would be awesome. While we are delivering these features, we are sensitive to organizational policies. So you have the power to turn it on or off based on your organizational policies. We talked a lot about service health and empowering you when there is a service health issue. I want to switch gears a little bit and kind of tell you what else are we doing. I want to introduce this concept of everyday insights. We know that on a day-to-day basis, your role encompasses multiple jobs, keeping track of user licenses, training your users, figuring out when new features have to be rolled out, what the right messaging is. We want to help you accomplish these tasks. Everyday Insights is about the daily insights that you can accomplish, daily insights that are helpful to you to maximize your investment in Office 365. It's a to-do list. It's relevant and personalized to you, with guidance on how to get the most out of Office 365. Think of it as there's an engine that is constantly assessing your environment, your experience. A good example is, let's say as your organization is growing and expanding, we keep a track about your available licenses. In this example, I want to drill down a little bit about that available licenses issue. When we detect that the available licenses is falling down, we will bubble up a to-do list, a notification, a list, an action that you can take and quickly get more licenses. And this happens before your users are seeing the issue with respect to the license, running out of licenses. And when you go into the task itself, this is how it would be. We don't want to spam you with a bunch of insights. We want and have it a never-ending list. When you go in, you have the ability to actually complete the task right then and there with pointers to purchase additional licenses. A peripheral insight about what others like you are doing, the ability to dismiss or mark it as done. Another daily insight could be your users are stuck at a particular workflow. It could be something that we can bubble up and say, maybe the user needs some education, to kind of improve their experience with that scenario. Maybe it is, for example, create groups. Users are running into issues with that. You can detect that and understand what is it that's going on and take the right remedial measures to help your users be more productive. And with that, that's a wrap. I want to give it back to Anne. Have a wonderful Ignite week.
Thanks. Because the question that all of you now have on your minds is, when is that actually coming to me, right? So the good news is that the preview, the new Service Health dashboard, everything that Pavni demoed to you is available for you to sign up for it today. And the preview will include the new summary view, which shows you all the information at a glance. It will show you the number of users in your organization that are impacted. And it will also already introduce this concept of the tiered approach, the differentiation between the incidents and the advisories. So you can sign up for the preview today. Then the other features will roll out over the next couple of months or over the next year. So on the one hand, we are planning to take the new Service Health dashboard out of preview at the end of the year so that it will be available directly for everybody. And as part of that, we will also, of course, retire the old Service Health dashboard. And also towards the end of the year, you will be able to see how many, not how many of your users, but which of your users are impacted by the service list, by the service incident. So you will be able to see the full list that Pavni showed that you will be able to download and filter so that you can really understand if, for example, your CEO is impacted by a service incident. And also by the end of the year, we will introduce the Tell Us functionality into the new Service Health dashboard. Then more is coming in the next year. One feature that you're all waiting for is the text and email notifications. That will be coming at the beginning of the next year, as well as the user monitoring and the in-product messaging. And as said before, just to call that out, the in-product messaging will be optional because we understand that many of you have communication process in place with your users already, and we, of course, don't want to interfere with that. And then more towards the summer, we will introduce the everyday insights that Pavni showed you at the end. We are also working on some smaller features that we didn't put here on the roadmap, which include the translation of the message of the Service Health dashboard, and also the ability for you to give feedback on specific messages. And also, we also introduced a new channel, actually, which is already available. We're now also using Twitter to inform you about really high impact service incidents, and also to give you a quick channel right now to communicate with us. And if you are a customer who has a technical account manager, please ask them about the PIP program. Because during a service incident, they often have access to additional information that through that program they can share with you. But now, this is the slide everybody has to take a picture of, because how do you sign up for the preview? So if you want to have the new Service Health dashboard in your admin center, simply please send us an email to shdpreviewsignup@service.microsoft.com. Then we will enable the preview for your tenant, which will take about 1 to 2 weeks. And after that is done, you will receive an email from us with information about how to access the new Service Health dashboard. And then please, play with it. Try it out. Try every single aspect of it. And give us feedback. Tell us what you like. And tell us what you don't like, actually most important. Because as you saw today, this is the preview. This is brand new. We are working on it. And we really want to make sure that the new Service Health dashboard meets the needs of all of you so that going forward, you really have access to all of the information that you need during and also after a service incident. And here are a few more sessions that are targeted or focused on admins. Some of them actually happened this week already, but I know that a lot of you watched the recordings offline after the event, so this might be a valuable list for you. And with that, we'd like to say thanks for being here today at our session, and we'd like to open it up for questions. We have two mics, so if you have a question, please just walk up to the mic and ask us right now, or of course afterwards, we'll be here the whole time. Please just walk up to us and talk to us in person as well. If you have a question, yes, please.
Shout out the question. If the mic's not on, we'll repeat Hello. It. Oh, sounds like it's working.
We've been working with a couple of vendors on mail continuity solutions, email continuity solutions, to be able to, I guess, spool our mail in their cloud solution so that if there's a service interruption, we can continue to use mail on their service and fail back over to O365 when it comes up. Some of these features that you're talking about, being able to tell when specific users are having mail issues, are you going to be exposing the capabilities of your partners to be able to see that information as well so that we can have like an automated failover in a mail continuity type solution?
When you talk about the partner scenario, if the tenant is using a partner and has provided admin rights to you as the partner, you'll obviously have access to this information. So the design principle is that it's something that's consumable. So I think I need to know the partner scenario specifically, but I think in that model it would work. So you're a lot of times it's sort of the administer on behalf of scenario for a partner, then ultimately, yeah, you would have access to the information and be able to take action on their behalf.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Any other questions? Yes, please.
I think a nice feature would be to integrate this monitoring on the service availability of our tenant and service specific components to measure against our SLA. Is this something that can be done?
So, well, I mean, SLA is an interesting topic. It is a sort of a touch point. There are a couple of pieces. One is there are a set of deterministic values that are coming out of the service. So if you think about a lot of the features that are being represented here, they're about the specific mail store capability, that a mail store has gone down for a specific user. That's something that we can deterministically report back. It shows up in here. There are other scenarios that wouldn't necessarily show up within here. And then trying to represent that in an SLA form that directly comes back to the customer is something that would still, I think, fall well short of the mark that you would expect. So I don't think you should expect to see that this actually translate into an availability measure that would show up in your tenant anytime soon. Again, you know, we are definitely on a path. We hope that as you attended last year's Ignite, this year's Ignite, you see the feature roadmap. We are committed in continuing to invest. Hopefully these features got a lot of you very excited. And so that's not to say that we would never do that, but we're not at a point yet in our feature capabilities to deliver it in a way that would actually address your requirements. So it's not on the roadmap at this point. But it's a great feature idea and one that we can look at and whether or not this enables it. Looks like we have someone else coming up to the mic or leaving. So, no, it's coming to the mic.
That's a question, yeah. So I like the idea that you show affected number of users. That's really fantastic. And I can see how that would work with Outlook access type issues, but with mail flow issues, and especially for a company that's in hybrid mode where not all the mailboxes are in 365, but all the mail flows through 365, would you be able to identify a number of users impacted by a mail routing issue?
Yeah, so that gets into the prior question. If you look at like the Information Protection Service, there's a different distribution model in that place. So I think one thing to express here, again, as we launch these features, most of the user population in here, if I said, would you rather know about an email flow issue or a search issue in SharePoint, you would say, I want to know about an email flow issue. And so we are prioritizing the feature set to deliver first for the email store capability. Hey, is it up or down? The bigger point of the presentation is really around the fact that we've built out the fabric now that we can start plugging in other services. And the information protection team is building greater and greater capability. And as they light up, they will be able to plug into the fabric. But you're absolutely correct. And as an example, even in today, via the message center, we will report out to you if we see mail blockage for an on-prem scenario. So for example, if you are the owner of the mail and we see a blockage from information protection that we're not able to deliver to you, we actually do report that to you. It's not a service incident, so it doesn't show up on the service health dashboard. It shows up in Message Center. So also make sure you are consuming the different avenues, because we actually are delivering in some cases what you're looking for. But I would really take away from this session sort of the more exciting piece, which is this is just the beginning.
Any additional questions?
Would you either, you can either shout a little louder and we'll repeat the question, or if you wouldn't mind coming to the mic because I couldn't quite hear you.
How far back does it go?
How far back does the
history,
the history reporting?
The history report, yeah.
So Pavani, the question is around how far back are people able to see service issues?
We are beginning to think 30 days right now as we are designing this feature. And again, we are very open to feedback. We're constantly talking to admins. What we understand is that typically at the end of the month, there's a reporting workflow that gets kicked off, and it looks like 30-day history is good enough, but if there's a legitimate reason for why you would need more than 30 days, then please give us that feedback and we'll take that into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, one other thing to consider is you do have access to the APIs and you can pull and harvest all of the information that's posted there and keep it for your historical record. So again, in solving for the masses, 30 days across 99% of our customers is more than enough. Some customers have need for longer amounts, and there we do provide the APIs for you to be able to draw that in and be able to capture and hold on to it.
Any additional questions? Yes, please.
So you used the term bug earlier.
Bug. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's if I understood correctly, it almost sounded like you were defining it a little bit differently than.
I'm having a bit of a.
Can you get a little bit closer to the mic, just?
So for a bug.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
Great.
It seemed like you were redefining or possibly expounding on what a bug, how you all look at what a bug is in the flow of what you're doing with this feature or this product.
Yeah, so in that particular case, it more ties in with this sort of premise of the DevOps model. So if you look, we're the engineering organization is running the service, very contrary to sort of the classic IT implementation, where you're given a set of software, you have IT experts that are good at running a set of systems. And in this case, in the event that an engineer misses something as a monitor, that is a bug, but also if they have to take manual action against it, they consider that a bug, because ultimately that is something that prevents the efficiency of the service, potentially delivery of capability. It may be completely transparent to you. A bug is something that we look at very holistically because we're very engineering minded. So anything that requires somebody to do something for us is contrary to scale, availability, and we treat that as a bug irrespective of whether it's impacting to the customer or not.
Are these same features coming to Azure for notifications for customers as well?
Yeah, the answer is sort of twofold. One is that we recognize, if you look across Office 365, we have CRM, we have Azure, we have different engineering teams responsible for those. Inside of the company, we have something that's called the One Cloud Initiative. And so some organizations are delivering features that are more interesting in some cases to their user population from a priority standpoint. We've gotten enormous feedback that says, as an IT pro, you want to know which of my users are impacted. It's a little different in the Azure scenario where SQL is down or your virtual machine is not working, because you're usually communicating to a developer that built on top of it and they understand the application. So with that said, I think our prioritization was a little bit higher, but trust me, they are fully aware of this, and we are sharing our intellectual property across the teams to see how they could implement it and use it. But whether or not they've got an active dev cycle to actually implement that is something that's not in place right now.
So
So I have one question around user monitoring. So you mentioned that you also can check user login, and I was wondering if this also works when you do have an on-premise Active Directory environment and use ADFS for federation. And if so, how do you actually do the check because you don't have the password?
Yeah, so the way we are doing this check is we are very sensitive to user information, so we do not have the password. We locate a monitoring mailbox that's located adjacent to the user's mailbox and correlate that with the user activity. But I have to go back and check your particular scenario, and if you leave me your contact number, I'll get back to you with an answer. That's a very good question. Good catch, though, because you're like, I was like, who gets that? Like, we don't have the user, you know, password, and how can we do that? But the way we do it is by actually a co-located monitoring mailbox.
All right, so if we don't have any more questions, then thanks for your time, and have a great rest of the week, everybody.
And again, we'll be up here because we have a few minutes left if you want to come up and ask anything directly to us. Thank you.